Grace is a miracle waiting to happen in your life. And it always shows up looking like the compassionate Jesus. I want you to get that. The Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus. It also says he was full of grace and truth. Next paragraph. Grace requires nothing from us. Oh, if we just get that, we could go home now and have an early lunch. It's the problems arise. We want to help a little bit in case it wasn't quite enough. Which is not just a reflection of us, it's a reflection of what we think of Jesus, isn't it? It is a free gift available to whoever will receive it by faith, regardless of who they are or where they're coming from. It doesn't ask questions or weigh facts. It doesn't have a conscience. That's a very important statement. Grace doesn't have a conscience. It is without prejudice. It believes in all and extends help to all freely because of Jesus. See there, this was of Jesus. It defines true love. And true love is full of grace, by the way. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13 and you see it just looks, sounds like grace. This is the subject of chapter 1. Unfair grace that sets the best and worst of us free. Unfair grace that sets the best and worst of us free. You can tell religion from real Christianity because religion always dips at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to assess. The worst thing that ever happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when they took of that fruit was they became judges of themselves and one another. All of a sudden, they were in a place to be God, because God is the only righteous judge. That's why he didn't want to know that. Isn't that interesting? Only God is qualified to judge. And the Bible says he's committed all judgment to the Son. Thank God our lawyer is the judge. But when Adam and Eve took of that tree, all of a sudden they were placed in the difficult position of judging. And you'll notice that judging isn't one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Discernment, yes, but not judging. Discernment is to recognize and put in context. Judging is to assess, evaluate, judge. And so, grace frees us from having to eat our food from that particular source. And the hardest thing you'll do with your religious background, and the hardest thing you'll do as a human being, is to unhook from judging, assessing things. I mean, it's such a bad thing that the Word of God says, if you're going to judge, you're going to be judged the same way. Right there, warning, don't touch that thing. So if we were supposed to know good and evil, if we were supposed to judge ourselves and one another, he wouldn't have said, number one, judge no man before the time. And number two, if you judge, you're going to be judged also. Have you ever thought of that?
Yes.
They weren't supposed to do what they suddenly became aware of doing by instinct. And all the negative things were born that day, including death. Was judging must condemn. Grace and judgment don't go together. And yet most Christians are up to their eyebrows in it and think they are righteous for it. But nowhere in the Bible does it say judging makes you righteous. But somehow in the wickedness of some people's hearts, they feel like if they could just judge you a little louder and a little more clearly, a little more succinctly, then they're going to make themselves look better. I am better than you. I don't do that. Bad day, the day they started eating from that tree. Bad day. Today we are led of the Spirit. We're no longer under the law. That means you have to repent of, listen to me, you have to repent of and turn your back on judging, which it comes back and bites you like a bad dog. Which is why Jesus said we need to forgive one another the way we get forgiven. Yes. I always pray every morning for you folks. God, enlarge us for your love, enlarge us for your grace, Enlarge us to, for your forgiveness, and help us to walk in it towards ourselves and others. Because that's the whole story of grace, ladies and gentlemen. It's bigger than us. And you know, I want to say something for those of you who are struggling. Stop trying to feel love and feel grace.
Yes.
Because it's not a feeling.
No.
It's something we receive by faith.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, Jonathan, do you feel like a Jonathan? Do you feel like a Randall?
Something.
Do you feel like an Eileen? No, it's you. Your name. Good. Love of the agape Calvary type isn't a feeling. It's yours. Take it. Believe it. Run with it. The Bible says it passes your understanding, which means it's bigger than you can reason anyway. God's love starts when you stop reasoning and can't figure it out. God, he doesn't deserve it. God, she shouldn't have it. God, how can it be done? Okay, now we're getting to the area of love. That's why Jesus used the same terminology to say, my peace passes understanding. Why? Paul used that also. Why? Because there is a peace that's got nothing to do with whether you feel rattled or not. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
There is a peace that is yours whether you feel rattled or not, and there's a love that's yours whether you feel rattled or not. It's a God thing. God said it, I believe it, and I'm standing in it, and I feel terrible, but I'm not listening to that.
Amen.
I mean, how many times must you tell yourself and tell God, Lord, don't pay attention to what I'm feeling right now.
Amen.
Don't pay attention to the things I'm swatting out of my brain right now because it's a lie. It's not me. I believe you. I'm standing on what you said, and that's the end of it, and I'm going to praise you by faith. I'm going to praise you by faith. I'm going to thank you by faith. I'm going to receive it by faith. I'm going to rejoice in it by faith because I believe it. Grace is that big. You've got to understand it.